Blog Talk Radio.
Now,
What's up, y'all? Fast and 60 Minutes of Sports rolling in, Season 4, Episode 7. Good Sunday morning to all my NFL heads, all my college football holdovers. If you're hungover from yesterday's events, crazy, crazy day in college football. None of us saw that coming. Welcome in, October the 19th, 2014. Just a little bit past whatever time it is in your world, 8 minutes past the hour. Wishing you the best for a Sunday. Week 7 is upon us in the National Football League, which is always fun. Time to start to see the make or break points of the NFL season and to have some fun as we start to really turn the corner. Also, the NHL is rolling, and of course, my Blackhawks are the sexy pick to win it all, which is always fun. News out of Pittsburgh in the hockey world is actually pretty good these days. Updates on Adrian Peterson, what's going on with him. Updates on Derek Walker will be coming in next week. Now, Derek Walker, that name may not sound familiar to you. That's okay. He's a kid who went to Missouri a couple of years ago and got in all kinds of trouble with sexual assault. And basically, the bottom line is he just couldn't control himself, and he had no assistance from coaches or people around him to help him out whatsoever and ruin what was probably a very potentially prosperous career in the NFL that just never, ever panned out. We'll get you all that probably within the next week or so. In the meantime, we're still uploading some fun things to share with you today. So, as we get those things rocking and rolling, here is 2013 in 6 minutes as we get ready to rock and roll only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Fires, and it's intercepted! There will be a playoff game! from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It is Super Bowl 48.
The ultimate goal, baby. The Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. So the first play of the game, a nightmare for the Broncos.
The ball is hit. Has it come down? This is up. What is it? Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Seahawks. He's across the 40. The speed. There he goes. He's going to go all the way back. 88 yards for a touchdown. Yes.
You had to love that. 2013 all done in six nice little tight little minutes. The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports, Episode 7 for the fourth season of the show. It is Week 7 National Football League. We've got Venn picks. We've got your fantasy rankings. We've got all the crazy stuff from yesterday. Let's get into college football real briefly as we are at... Went too fast. 44 left in the ride. All right. Let's go 25 down because we got to talk about last night's game, Florida State and Notre Dame, because that was a crazy one. All right. Number 25, that's like Marshall, 45-13 over FIU. Number 24, Clemson, a 17-13 win over BC. USC, number 22, a 56-28 blowout win over Colorado. Utah, 29-23 over Oregon State. Utah ranked number 20 now. 19, Nebraska, 38-17 over Northwestern. Stanford falls, number 22, of course, 17, ASU, 26-10. That's a Pac-12 rival. Ohio State is making a major league push just by putting up tons of points on porous teams. Ohio State, 56-17 over Rutgers. TCU put it on Oklahoma State, 42-9. TCU is number 12, Oklahoma State number 15. Number 11, Oklahoma loses to Kansas State, 31-30. That's a bit of a shock. Georgia, 45-32 over Arkansas. If Arkansas could simply learn how to finish tackles and finish games, that's going to be a program soon enough. Again, but Georgia right now, the talk of the area. Number 10, 45-32 over Arkansas. Number 9, Oregon, 45-20 over Washington. Number 8, Michigan State, 56-17 over Indiana. Number 7, Alabama puts a beatdown on Texas A&M, 59-0. Let me do this right. 59-0. 59-0. Number 7, drubs 21. And I was all over Texas A&M at one point. I still love Kenny Hill. I hope he's going to be back next year. Number 4, Baylor loses to West Virginia, 41-27. There's a bit of a shakeup. Number 3, Mississippi, 34-3, just drubs Tennessee. And the game of the day, and many of us did not see this coming, Florida State, Notre Dame. Great game last night. I'm not sure that disallowed touchdown on that garbage penalty is the right call, but nonetheless, it's a call they made to turn the game around. This game would have easily wound up Notre Dame 34, FSU 31, and Jameis Winston would have finally lost his first game in his college career, but such was not the case. The flag was thrown. Bentley was called offensive pass interference, giving Notre Dame the equivalent to a fourth and almost forever. And, of course, they fail, and Florida State survives, therefore winning 31-27. So the number 2 Florida State Seminoles survive what could have easily, again, shaken up the whole rafters. Had FSU lost this game, the way Mississippi beat Tennessee, you'd be looking at the potential for a 1-2 all from the Magnolia State. We said it last week. We'll say it again. Say it ain't so. That the entire college football world centers around the great state of Mississippi. I know there's some graves somewhere turning right now. Mississippi. But that is the case. So right now, it's looking like 1, 2, and 3 will be Mississippi State, 2 FSU, number 3 Mississippi. Now, with number 4 Baylor losing to West Virginia, what does that mean to 5, 6, and 7, who are apparently all are on buys this past week? So there's going to be some shakeup, and we'll find all that means again tonight. So. Anything else worth noting? Ex-USC running back White ejected calls Hayden a coward. Okay, I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later on. In the meantime, for your fantasy people, you've got to be in the thickness of your season now. You're probably worried about being 1 or 2 games back, depending on where you are. Let's get you some fantasy low, get you your rankings for Week 7 of the National Football League, let you know what you need to know and what you need to avoid, if at all possible. Okay. We start week 7 with your kicker. So if you've got a fantasy squad, if you've got these guys in your squad, you're playing. If you don't have them, we just hope you're not playing them this week. All right, kickers this week. Number 10, Matt Bryan in Atlanta. Number 9, Danny Carpenter in Buffalo. Number 8, Steven Hauschka. Still love Steven Hauschka in Seattle. Number 7, Phil Dawson in San Francisco. Number 6, Brandon McManus in Denver. Number 5, Chandler Catanzaro in Arizona. Fun name. Number 4, Justin Tucker in Baltimore. Number 3, Nick Novak in San Diego. Number 2, Adam Vinatieri in Indiana. And the number 1 kicker this week, again, if you got him, start him, is Danny Bailey in Dallas. Okay. Once again, Bryan in Atlanta, Carpenter in Buffalo, Hauschka in Seattle, Dawson in San Francisco, McManus in Denver, Catanzaro in Arizona, Tucker in Baltimore, Novak in San Diego, Vinatieri in Indianapolis, and Danny Bailey at Dallas. Dallas gets the Giants in what was once upon a time billed as a very, very significant and important game, such is not the case anymore. All right, to your wide receivers. You know, we got to get that song by Michael. Michael Cooper made that song back in the 80s. Wide receiver? I think so. All right, your top wide receivers today. Number 10, T.Y. Hilton in Indianapolis. Number 9, Randall Cobb in Green Bay. Number 8, Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago. 7, Steve Smith in Baltimore. Steve Smith Sr., I might add. Number 6, Brandon Marshall in Chicago. Number 5, Des Bryant. Number 4, Julio Jones. Number 3, Antonio Brown. That's matchup driven. Number 2, Demaryius Thomas. And number 1, all matchup driven, Jordy Nelson sits atop this week. That is a bit of an anomaly. I don't know how you get Jordy Nelson over Demaryius Thomas, but you got Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning, so why not? All right. Let's run down one more time. T.Y. Hilton, Randall Cobb, Alshon Jeffrey, Steve Smith Sr., Brandon Marshall, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, and number one this week, Jordy Nelson. That is your wide receiver setup. If you've got them, play them. If you don't have them, let's just hope you're not playing those guys this week. All right? All right. Moving on to the tight ends, because we can. Top tight ends this week, number 10, Vernon Davis. Number 9, Larry Donald. That's matchup driven. Number 8, Travis Kelce in Kansas City. Number 7, Jordan Reed in Washington. Number 6, Jordan Cameron in Cleveland. Number 5, Delanie Walker in Tennessee. That's matchup driven. Number 4, Antonio Gates in San Diego. Number 3, Martellus Bennett. Number 2, Greg Olsen. And number 1, Julius Thomas. I don't know that you ever doubt Julius Thomas, regardless of who he's going against, because he's got Peyton to work with. But let's run him down one more time. Number 10, Vernon Davis. Number 9, Larry Donald. Number 8, Travis Kelce. Number 7, Jordan Reed. Number 6, Jordan Cameron. Number 5, Delanie Walker. Number 4, Antonio Gates. Number 3, Martellus Bennett. Number 2, Greg Olsen. And number 1, Julius Thomas. That rounds out your fantasy tight ends for today. All right, where are we going next? Are we going quarterbacks or... All right, let's do quarterbacks. Yeah, we still have defenses, right? Yeah, we haven't done defenses yet. Don't forget the defenses. I know you hate on them sometimes, but don't forget the defenses. All right. You do defenses now? So we can do defenses right now. Can we do it? We got it in front of us? Maybe we can. All right, fantasy lovers. See if we can get this thing to come down just a little bit more. There's your love for fantasy defense. All right. All right, top 10 defenses for this week 7. Number 10, the Dallas Cowboys. Number 9, the Chicago Bears. Oh, didn't see that coming. Number 8, the Denver Broncos. Number 7, the Baltimore Ravens. Number 6, the Houston Texans. Number 5, the Arizona Cardinals. Number 4, the Cleveland Browns. Number 3, Buffalo. Number 2, Detroit. Number 1 this week, the Seattle Seahawks. Why? They're at St. Louis in Seattle. Seattle has shown some softness in defense, but they're playing the Rams. And Austin Davis could be he's going to have target on his back until he gets hurt, unfortunately. All right, so shock of that list, though, the Chicago Bears. I know Miami's got some issues with Tannehill and Lamar Miller in the running back, and they made some strides. The Bears have played much better with, you know, literally the three guys, the three linebackers they signed off the street. But I don't know that I'd bump them up in the top 10, but nonetheless, that's where they land. So let's run them down one more time. Number 10, Dallas. Number 9, Chicago. Number 8, Denver. Then Baltimore, then Houston, then Arizona. Number 4 is Cleveland. Number 3, Buffalo. Number 2, Detroit. And the number 1 defense, if you got them, start them, is the Seattle Seahawks. Good luck to you and yours and whatever you're aspiring to do today where your fantasy squad is concerned. Hopefully you are doing very, very well. All right, let's take a look at your quarterbacks. A lot of this is probably going to be matchup driven, as you might imagine. Number 10, Carson Palmer comes in. Number 10, Arizona. Number 9, Colin Kaepernick of the Niners. Number 8, Drew Brees. Number 7, Russell Wilson. Number 6, Cam Newton. Number 5, Jay Cutler. There's that man. Number 4, Phillip Rivers. Number 3, Peyton Manning. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers. And number 1, this is not matchup driven. I'm not sure about this one. Number 1 this week is Andrew Luck. Is it because Cincinnati gave up 37 points in that tie last week? It's got to be. Andrew Luck's your number one ranked quarterback this week. Again, followed by Aaron Rodgers. Number three, Peyton Manning. Four, Phillip Rivers. Five, Jay Cutler. Six is Cam Newton. Seven, Russell Wilson. Eight, Drew Brees. Nine, Colin Kaepernick. Number 10, Carson Palmer. Right behind Carson Palmer by a hair is Tony Romo. So, no love for Flacco and Ryan. They're in the middle of the road this week. Go figure. Kirk Cousins, middle of the road. And these guys have favorable matchups, but I guess the prognosticators not feeling them. That's the best way I can put it there. Just not feeling them. All right. Did we hit the running backs? I think we ignored the running backs, didn't we? Let us not ignore the running backs. Those guys are good guys. They work hard. They want some love. Show them some love. Said old Bernie Mac, show them some love. Show them some love. Back in the day. Good stuff. All right. Fantasy freak. Pick or sleeper pick, basically, if you want to call him that, out of San Diego is Brandon Oliver, so don't be surprised if you hear that name. All right, top 10 running backs. Number 10, Brandon Oliver right there in San Diego. And something's blowing in my ear. Something's blowing in my ear. Okay. No. Back to your running backs. All right, there we go. Brandon Oliver, number 10. Number 9, Andre Ellington. Number 8, Ben Tate. Number 7, Giovanni Bernard. Number 6, Jamal Charles. Number 5, Marshawn Lynch. Number 4, Le'Veon Bell. Number 3, Arian Foster. Number 2, Matt Forte. And the number 1 pick this week has, most might have imagined, DeMarco Murray. Now, this is interesting. Brandon Oliver in San Diego, because, again, everyone else is hurt. Number 9, Andre Ellington. The Arizona really doesn't want to run the ball well. Ben Tate in Cleveland. That's probably a really nice pick if you've got Ben Tate. Giovanni Bernard, because Cincinnati has run the ball well. Jamal Charles, if he can ever get off the snide on that one and that two hole. Number 5, Marshawn Lynch. Not really played up to what he's capable of this year, but it's against St. Louis, and it's on turf. Le'Veon Bell in Houston with Pittsburgh. Most rank him 5. He's coming in at 4, and that's because Matthew Berry likes the matchup. Arian Foster comes in at number 3, and that's pretty much the general consensus, except for Matthew Berry, who has him 6. And Matthew Berry does not seem to agree with too many of his guys this week, with the exception of DeMarco Murray. They all agree that DeMarco Murray is number 1. Matt Forte coming in at number 2. Berry has him at 4. Harris at 4. Carroll at 3. That's interesting. Well, the one thing about us prognosticators is we don't have to be right. All right? We're just guys with opinions and a platform to share them. So, yours truly for this year, 58-32-1, which is awfully doggone good. Excited about what's going to happen today. And that is a great opportunity for me to walk you into the VIN picks with 32 left in the ride. Got some things to do before we get there, but in the meantime, I want to thank you for being part of the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. Thank you for listening, and we'll do some things. We'll be right back to you.
Welcome back to the fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm Vicki Nunu, and you're listening to my baby, your host, Vinnie Moore.
I've been eating Egg McMuffins since 1984. But when I saw Taco Bell made a waffle taco,
I figured I would get with the times.
So I got a haircut and I got some tighter pants. Locked my flip phone, got a smartphone, even took down my Loverboy poster. Now I'm eating waffle tacos and AM Crunchwraps.
And I just made like $700 on Craigslist.
Move on from your old McDonald's breakfast with Taco Bell's exciting new breakfast menu.
And now, the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird. sounds like an intern running down to give me the story. It does. I know. I normally cut you off at this point because I just want to get to the story, but that's good stuff. Billy, where do you come up with that? That's good stuff. All right, news of the weird on the 19th. Now, look, for those of you in the East Coast, New York Giant fans, you're not going to like this, but then again, I think it's kind of funny, so. It's my show. All right. Dateline New York. New York Giants tight end Larry Donald manages his own fantasy league team by drafting NFL players for virtual competition based on their real life stats of the previous weekend. Donald lamented to the New Jersey's The Record in October that he had benched virtually Larry Donald, which is himself, on his fantasy team the week before because he thought his other tight end, Vernon Davis, would do better. In reality, Larry Donald had a career high game, with three touchdowns leading the real Giants to a 45-14 victory. However, Donald's fantasy team lost badly because virtual Larry Donald and his weekend statistics bonanza was on Donnell's bench. This courtesy of WCBS-TV as of October 2nd, 2014. You got to be dumb as... Okay. So Larry Donald, NFL tight end for the New York Giants, benches himself, goes out, has a career game, loses his fantasy game. He's got to be chuckling about this because he benched himself in lieu of what he thought was the better matchup with Vernon Davis. I've never had the good fortune to be on an NFL roster and play in an NFL game. I've not. I'm sure I would have truly relished that. I also, in this day and age with technology, it is, don't think I would have benched myself knowing if I was a starting tight end and I was going to go out there and I've got Eli and a bunch of people that can deliver me the ball. Yeah. Wonders never seem to surprise me. What can I tell you? And that's this week's Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird.
Welcome back to the fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm Vicki Nunu, and you're listening to my baby, your host, Vinnie Moore.
All right. 28 left in the ride on Week 7 National Football League. I see the chats. I see the glimmering. Y'all want to see what the picks are. Well, and rather than just read you the picks with all my wonderful energy and everything else, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I recorded the picks several days ago, so this way you can't come back and say, you know, oop to chalk about certain picks. And it's never been an issue. My integrity's never been a question when it comes down to making picks. But before we do all that, you know, we started this last week. Dr. Vicki Nunu, who started a series on kind of the look backs and the microcosm of sports and society, has done a piece for us this week. And I want to make sure I give you that before we go too far. It's about 6 minutes of really good backstory. Now, most of you know... Well, you saw the movie Blindside, so I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give too much away because I think this is a nice little piece. Anyway, it's a 6 minute break from me and 6 minutes of knowledge for you. So here is Dr. Nunu for this week's submission.
I would like to extend a heartfelt thank you for welcoming me to a new segment on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm excited and thrilled to be here. When Vinnie first asked me to be a part of the Fastest family, I was a little stunned. Being born and raised in Canada, my sport was, yes, of course, hockey. The truth be told, I didn't even like football. I would go as far as to say I hated it. Yes, you heard that right. Mr. Footy Football himself and his girl couldn't stand football. That is until I watched the appreciation he has for the game. The more I listened to him, the more I saw the excitement and passion in his voice. And that twinkle in his eye, and the way he would smile when his beloved Bears would be playing. So how could I hate on that? I wanted to do more than put on his favorite jersey with a pair of stilettos and snuggle up to him on a Sunday afternoon and watch the game. So with his help, I have now learned a little about it. I find now that I am eager to learn even more. Although I still don't have the passion that my super champ has for his Bears or the love of football, the things I'm finding I'm passionate about are the backstories. I love hearing the rags-to-riches stories. I love to see how one person's hardships can help others become better people for themselves and the people around them. Or maybe you are truly the fortunate one, and you are the one to make a difference in someone else's life who's been a mishap of misfortune just because of who they are or where they were born. So when I think of this, I would like to start off with my favorite backstory of Michael Orr. I don't think many of you true football fans need much introduction, but I would like to touch on this and use it as an example. It's truly one of my favorites. It's a Cinderella story of football. He was born Michael Jerome Williams Jr. in Memphis, Tennessee. He was one of 12 children to a father who frequently went to prison and a mother addicted to crack cocaine. They offered him little to no support. Michael struggled in school, attended 11 schools in 9 years. He was in and out of foster homes and often was left homeless. A very great future until he met Sean and Leanne Tui, two people who cared enough about a young lost boy whose life had deemed hopeless. The Tuis were truly his fairy godparents. They became Michael's guardians, and his life had taken a turn for the better. Orr began to experience great success in 2004. A well-known football player, he received first All-American honors from USA Today and given the opportunity to play in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. He also accepted a scholarship offer from the University of Mississippi after receiving offers from Tennessee, LSU, Alabama, and NC State, among others. As a freshman offensive lineman, Michael played 11 games for the University of Mississippi, starting 10 of them at the right guard position. Orr was selected first team freshman All-American by the Sporting News and the first team freshman All-LAC. A well-known football player, he received his first All-American honors from USA Today and given an opportunity to play in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. He also accepted a scholarship offer from the University of Mississippi after receiving offers from Tennessee, LSU, Alabama, and NC State, among others. As a freshman offensive lineman, Michael played 11 games for the University of Mississippi, starting 10 of them at the right guard position. Orr was selected first-team freshman All-American by the Sporting News and first-team freshman All-SEC for his play in 2005. In his sophomore season in 2006, Michael Orr became a breakout star in the highly competitive SEC after a move to his natural position at left tackle. He then earned second-team All-SEC for his performance. That very same year, Michael Lewis released a book titled The Blind Side, which detailed Michael Orr's life from foster child to college football star. In 2009, the book was turned into a movie that was nominated for an Oscar for the Best Motion Picture of the Year. Michael continued to dominate at the left tackle position in his junior year. After being selected as a consensus team for All-SEC in 2007, Orr declared for the 2008 NFL Draft. After just 2 days, he rescinded his declaration for the NFL Draft to return for his senior season at University of Mississippi. He became one of the senior leaders on a University of Mississippi team that recorded its first winning record since 2003. The dominant left tackle was once again a consensus for first-team All-SEC as well as a first-team All-American selection by the Associated Press. In 2009 NFL Draft, Michael Orr was selected 23rd overall by the Baltimore Ravens. He started all six. In 2009 NFL Draft, Michael Orr was selected 23rd overall by the Baltimore Ravens. He started all 16 games for the Ravens and helped the team reach the playoffs in his first season with the team. During 2012-13 season, Orr helped take the Ravens all the way to the Super Bowl 47, held in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Super Bowl pitted the Baltimore Ravens against the San Francisco 49ers. Orr and his teammates emerged victorious in his battle for the championship in a tight game, scoring 34 points to the 49ers' 31 points. After his win, Orr told ABC, "I came so far, from nothing to a Super Bowl championship." To this day, Michael Orr still plays for the Baltimore Ravens. This is a true real-life Cinderella story, and all because someone cared enough and gave him an opportunity to show him to believe in himself and to trust the good in others. This gives us all hope of what mankind is and can be. I leave you with a quote from Michael Orr. "I would have dreams all the time about playing NFL. Every day I woke up, I said to myself, I'm going to work hard to get to the next level."
Thanks, Doc. I appreciate it. Many of you know the story of Michael Orr and the Blind Side, and my apologies to actually my production team. I was supposed to finish up those edits, so some of those things you may have heard twice. I apologize for that. That's my fault. In the meantime, you know Michael Orr. You know he starts for the Baltimore Ravens, and they've had a tremendous amount of success, not only since he's been there, but Michael Orr, Ray Lewis, and the Joe Flaccos of the world. And come to think of it, let's see, you had Ray Lewis finishing 17 years. You had Michael Orr, who is on pace to have a Hall of Fame career, should he continue to stay healthy. Things are looking pretty good for Baltimore. If you had the Baltimore Orioles baseball team go deep in the playoffs, that's the one thing we have not touched on today. And I am stunned that I have seen nothing on that, is the Baltimore Orioles. Interesting. But again, thanks, Doc, for the Michael Orr bit. We look forward to more fun stuff coming down the road. A lot of backstories. I know when we talked on the phone, we talked about the kid out of Missouri, Derek Washington. I am anxious to hear what your research tells you about that situation. That is a troubled young man who hopefully gets some help, because you can't be gifted with that much talent and not have someone hopefully come to your rescue before it's too late. We've all heard the stories of the Javon Belcher and how that unfortunate situation went with the loss of life there, and we're hopefully not looking for something along that same line to happen in this young man's case. So we'll stay optimistic and try to find a silver lining. Let's see. Taking a quick look. Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything, guys. I apologize for the small buzz. The World Series starts Tuesday in Kansas City. San Francisco Giants, Kansas City Royals. Now, here's what's weird, and it's kind of hard to fix your mouth to say it as a sports fan. You're about to cover a World Series, the San Francisco Giants, which is a common name, against the Kansas City Royals. The Royals haven't been to the playoffs in 29 years, and they didn't just come to the dance. They exploded on the dance. They have not lost in this postseason, but they're going up against a team that is so seasoned and has been here so many times. Yeah, I am anxious. I'm rooting. So you know I am rooting for the Kansas City Royals. You love the underdog. Why not? Yeah, they are the epitome of why not us. All right, both teams are wild card teams. They just wanted to get to the dance. They got there, so why not win it all? All right, why not us? So why not the Kansas City Royals? Why not? All right, 18 left in the ride today. You're still hanging on your head waiting for these VIN picks. You got 4 minutes and 30 seconds worth of VIN picks to show you. Now, we didn't vet a lot of this as well as we probably could have, but that's okay because we were up against a bit of a window of time. Nonetheless, the picks are in. They are done. You already know what happened Thursday night with the Jets having a shot to win late on a field goal that was blocked, 58-yard field goal blocked. It was a great football game nonetheless, easy game to watch. All right, let's see. Let's pay a bill and let's come back with your VIN picks. All right, let's do this, and I'll be back to you in about 30 seconds.
I've been eating Egg McMuffin since 1984, but when I saw Taco Bell made a waffle taco,
I figured I would get with the times.
So I got a haircut and I got some tighter pants, lost my flip phone, got a smartphone, even took down my Loverboy poster. Now I'm eating waffle tacos and AM Crunchwraps,
and I just made like $700 on Craigslist.
Move on from your old McDonald's breakfast with Taco Bell's exciting new breakfast menu.
Week 7 of the National Football League, the bid picks are in. The Jets at the New England Patriots. The odds are better for a butt fumble than a Jets victory here, but expect the Jets to find a way to keep it close. And for those of you who saw the game, he's all but for a blocked field goal. Carolina at Green Bay. When Aaron Rodgers pulls off wins like the one in Miami last week, he and his team seem so invincible. He's covering up some issues, and NFL's worst rushing defense, a poor rushing offense, that will keep plaguing the Packers. Of course, Cam Newton is the Panthers' running game. They pulled off 37 points last week anyway. The pick, Panthers 27, Packers 17. Arizona at Oakland. Carson Palmer is back for the Cardinals, who still play great without him. The depleted defense continues to be a marvel. The Raiders aren't ready. Cardinals 30, Raiders 21. Atlanta at Baltimore. A lot of franchise quarterback salary on the field in Baltimore. 2008 picks Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco. The Ravens have not been kind to the NFC South so far, with wins over the Panthers and Bucks by a combined 86-27. Tough coming up with a reason it won't happen again. Ravens 35, Falcons 13. Minnesota at Buffalo. If the Bills weren't so careless with the ball, they'd be in first place in the AFCs and have a nice home field win over the Patriots in their pocket. The Vikings should keep that in mind and be less careless themselves. 3 Teddy Bridgewater picks against Detroit, 2 off deflection. Bills 20, Vikings 14. Miami at Chicago. Lamar Miller has the Dolphins feature back job for good, and that could help Ryan Tannehill and the offense. Or, the Bears' completely unreliable defense could help even more. Or, Deron J. Pellet could show up. Or, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Matt Forte could exude the skill position that they're capable of, in which case, our picks stand. The Bears, 23. Dolphins, 17. The New Orleans Saints at the Detroit Lions. The Saints are coming off a bye, but they're coming off without Jimmy Graham. And they've also got a kicker they can't be trusted, just like the Lions. So they cancel each other out. They also play a Lions team whose defense is getting better every week and is making up for a less-than-beat Calvin Johnson. The picks, the Lions, 27. The Saints, 26. The Cleveland Browns at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, I can tell you that Brian Hoyer is feeling good about himself. He was feeling really good about himself until his center, Alex Mack, went down for the season. Doesn't matter. Browns still get it done. 16-13. Seattle at the St. Louis Rams. Just when the Brett Favre comparisons were reaching critical mass against the 49ers, same alma mater, and that's about it, Austin Davis hit the wall and reverted to the third-string quarterback he had been. The Seahawks showed soft spots defensively from time to time, but not enough to cost them against this team. Seahawks 31, Rams 16. The Tennessee Titans at the Washington Redskins. Because legally it has to be played, a combined 3 wins and 2 are against the winless Jags, Kirk Cousins has started 4 games and leads the NFL with 8 interceptions. In limited action, Charlie Waters filling in while Jake Locker's status is up in the air, has a higher passer rating than Drew Brees. As much as the air may point to the Tennessee Titans, we're going to go oppo. We're going to believe that Kirk Cousins can get it done. The Redskins, 24. The Titans, 20. I know you're finding it hard to believe. I know. I understand. The New York Football Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants had a chance to make this game total must-see TV, but they caved in against the Eagles and lost Victor Cruz for the season. They could have prevented a complete takeover by America's team and its legions with an upset win, but not in their physical and emotional and battered state. The Cowboys, 30. The Giants, 14. The Houston Texans at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jadeveon Clowney, who underwent knee surgery after the opener, is thinking about coming back for this game. If he's able, he can help the Texans' defense give the Steelers a long and ugly night in front of their home fans. There's not much faith that the embattled offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, will solve that defense. The pick, the Texans, 24. The Steelers, 13. Both Eagles and Bucks are on a bye this week. Last week, the Guru himself, yours truly, went 12-2 with the 1-2 tie. For the season, 58-32-1, looking for bigger and brighter days. Have a great Sunday. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great one. See you later, everybody.
And that is your Week 7 VIN picks for 2014. Yeah, we got to clean that up. I mean, the information's great, but the quality of that recording, we got to work on that. All right, I admit that. All right, enough of that. Look. For those of you at CSV Chats, I said the Bears over Miami, 23-17. All right? That's correct. I said Dallas would beat the Giants today. That's correct. I said the Texans would take care of Pittsburgh, and it bothers me to say that. All right? I actually like Pittsburgh. I like your quarterback. You just seem to be down on weapons, quality weapons. You've got a great wide receiver, but you know one quarterback and one wide receiver don't replace a porous offensive line that can't protect your quarterback. And if Big Ben does go down, you guys are in serious trouble. So, anyway, no talk about that. All right. 11 minutes in the ride. 11 left to go. Well, let's see. For those of you NBA heads, you've got your NBA season right around the corner. LeBron and the Cleveland Cavs are putting it together. I don't know what it's going to mean, if it's going to mean the kind of run that many LeBron fans are looking for, or if it means they're just going to get to the finals and get beat by somebody. But, there are some teams in the East that are literally chomping at the bit, and one of them, amazingly enough, is the Miami Heat. A healthier Dwayne Wade, just recently married Dwayne Wade, looking down the barrel of him and Chris Bosh being in the tandem that should do some special things in Miami. Don't look for Miami to just lay down. That's probably a 50-win team. And Derrick Rose in Chicago is back now. They've added Pau Gasol. This is the ultimate cry where we're going after it this year, so why not? Pau Gasol, who's got championship written all over him. Derrick Rose, who's got that I need to be a champion written all over him. If Derrick Rose can stay healthy and Mark McDermott can shoot as he's capable of, and pow does pow and puts up 20 to a double doubles every night, don't be surprised if you see the Chicago Bulls in the mix thick and it's thick later in the season. All right. We don't know what Brooklyn's going to be just yet. We don't know, you know, who's going to retire, who's going to hang it up. We do know this. It's going to be really, really heated in the East. The West maybe not quite as heated. I mean, the big stories are simple. Can the Spurs continue the run they're on right now as they're just getting older and older and older, and they continue to win and win and win? Go figure that one out. And what's going to be the Lakers story? Is Kobe back? You know, the latest rumors were that Kobe couldn't create his own shot anymore. He's a little step slower now. But this is Kobe Bryant. This is Black Mamba himself. This is the young man who believes that he is that next generation of Jordan-esque. He doesn't have to say it. You can hear it in the way, his swag, his talk. You know, he still believes he's got it. So if Kobe is used to putting up 25, 30 points a night, it'll be interesting to see exactly how the Lakers take advantage of him during this recovery right now and see what they can get out of Kobe. And the Suns, one of the better teams in the West, who just struggled down the stretch to just get over the hump from that 8 seed, just missing the playoffs last year. What's that going to mean for those guys? I mean, again, talented young squad. So for those of you looking for your NBA season, it's right around the corner. NHL heads. Well, look, we told you before, the Blackhawks are the sexy pick. I got to watch the Blackhawks and Calgary game the other night, and even though Calgary won the game in overtime, you can just see that there is a skill level that Chicago and some of the top teams bring to the table that upstarts like Calgary, just they're not quite there yet. They're going to have some fun. They're gonna make some noise, and that's always a good thing. They've got to learn how to win. They've got to learn how to get scoring from the other lines besides their top two, in which case they'll be fine. It will be a lot of fun to see all this plays out. 8 minutes. 8 minutes to go. Just a reminder, it is week 7 of the National Football League. Here's your power and the glory as we get you set. Whatever you're eating today, if you're firing up your grill, because it's still a really nice day outside, depending on what part of the world you're in, you know, enjoy today. Enjoy the sunny. Enjoy your life. Walk around barefoot in the grass and enjoy power and the glory.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
One heartbeat!
One heartbeat!
One mind!
One mind!
One spirit!
One spirit!
Hola, hola,
hola, hola,
hola,
hola,
hola. All we got is each other!
Yeah.
And that's all we need!
Yeah. One, two, three, four, five, six,
seven,
eight, nine,
ten, 11.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial. The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Round right, box two, run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action. There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife. But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Oh, that's it? That's what you're bringing today, Bryce? Come on, man.
We got to come out here with a swag, man, and play cocky, man, for 4 quarters.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain? Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
We get the ball back, we go down and score, we win this game.
29. Did you just miss the ball? Come on, son, it's the NFL now.
We're here in the same team. Same team, same team.
Get some pressure on your eyes, let's go.
But I'm going to tell you what, we got a pretty good football team in this room in case nobody knows.
Keep your eyes working for the pressure now.
Hey, bring this
lock off. Time to work, man. Time to work. Time to work now.
That's how you play football. Yes.
A time for achievement, a time for purpose, a time for glory.
You got to love Power and the Glory. Week 7 is upon you in the National Football League. You know what's funny? I can't get over the fact that Mississippi State, Ole Miss, all battling at the top of the college football world. I can't get over it. Mississippi State 6-0. Ole Miss now 6-0. Florida State, if but for what is a questionable call in the Notre Dame Florida State game, they'd be 1-2 right now and in line to control the first college football playoff season in the history of college sports in football. Now, here's the trade-off, okay? And here's what's going to be a little bit odd. Notre Dame is now one loss. They were number 5. Baylor's got one loss. They were number 4. So 1, 2, and 3, Mississippi State, Florida, Ole Miss, all undefeated. Baylor one loss, Notre Dame a loss, Auburn has a loss, Alabama has a loss, Michigan State a loss, Oregon a loss, Georgia a loss. This is going to be a mad scramble for 4, 5, and 6 with these most recent losses. Baylor's loss to West Virginia, kind of bad. Notre Dame's loss to Florida State, almost, you know, a wash. That should mean nothing. Notre Dame may still be number 5 when this weekend ends. Alabama at 5-1. Next, Auburn. I could easily see Auburn-Alabama jump Notre Dame just because of the timing, which means Auburn would go to number 4. But Alabama maybe gets one bump, gets to number 6. I don't think they get to number 5. and if they do, all right, they're 5 and Notre Dame's number 6. But this thing is far from over. There's a lot of football left to be played. Usually 4 or 5 games left for a lot of these squads. Anything, as we're finding out, anything can happen. Let's take a look at the college playoff picture real quick. So if it were to end today, 1 through 4 would make the circuit of the playoffs, which means Mississippi State, Florida State, Ole Miss, Baylor would be in there. Now, Baylor just lost. I know they're probably kicking themselves because that was a game that they easily should have won. Notre Dame could easily be kicking itself. But, again, a call is a call. How does Auburn, Alabama, or Michigan State find a way to break in the cycle? Because you could see the Baylor loss being deemed to West Virginia a little bit harsher than Notre Dame's loss to FSU. It's a huge if, because Notre Dame's just got its first loss. The teams behind them are all one-loss teams. Now, Alabama did make a statement, you know, against Texas A&M, 59-0. And trust me when I tell you, Nick Saban knows what he's doing. Alabama could easily be sitting at number 4 by the end of the day. If they're sitting at number 4, that changes a little bit of the dynamic in the playoffs. However, we know for a fact Mississippi State will be number 1, Florida State number 2, Ole Miss number 3. That's a given. Right now, it's the fight for number 4. That's all it is. That is all it is. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll see exactly what the next week brings as we get closer and closer to determining which team is going to be there. 2 minutes left in today's ride. I want to thank you all for making us part of your Sunday morning. We are the pregame show before the pregame show, so if you're going to your CBS affiliates, good luck. Enjoy the show. If you're going to your Fox affiliates, good luck and enjoy that show as well. This is where the big boys get together and start telling you about all those wonderful things you need to know. If you're going to the betting window this week, be careful. Don't bet the kids' education fund. Do something smart. Use your own funds. Take your own paycheck. Take your own discretionary funds. Pay your bills, and then have yourself some fun, all right? There are some opportunities out there for those of you. Now, the one thing we have not addressed is the survivor pool. Why? Because last week while I was dealing with you all, I forgot to make a pick. And usually when you forget to make a pick, you eliminate yourself. That's exactly what I wound up doing. I would have had the Ravens, and I would have still been alive today. But such is the case. It is the game within the game. I think I'm okay. I'm a big boy. But today, if you're going out to DraftKings, draft your roster. You've got about an hour left to do so for today's Fantasy Millionaire game. So play that game. Enjoy it. It's about $25 for the entry. But I tell you what, if you win it, just call the show and let us know, you know, how you did it, how you pulled it off, what your thought process was. And we'll be more than happy to accommodate you on a grand scale. Thank you so much for everything. As always, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we will see you next week only on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. My name is Vinny Moore. Goodbye, everybody.